Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to this service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today and invite you to join us in the Zoom Fellowship following this message and meditation. And in the Zoom Fellowship, you will hear beautiful music. We have Safi playing with us today. You'll have a chance to discuss and ask questions about the lesson and fellowship with your Unity family. And you can find the link to the Zoom Fellowship in your weekly update and e-newsletter. And if you do not receive the e-newsletter or weekly update, you can, especially if you're on YouTube, you can click on the Show More button below and you'll find the URL for our website. And, you know, if you've been spiritually fed by this message of meditation, please consider donating to the Unity Center of Light to support what we do here. If you're watching this service again on YouTube, you can click on that Show More link just below for the various ways to give. And we thank you in advance for your generous support. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, May the 15th. And the key word is freedom. And the affirmation is, taking responsibility for my life leads me to freedom. Each life has its share of ups and downs. Like most people, I have felt blessed by my happy experiences and laid low by my more difficult ones. I have used the spiritual tools of forgiveness and gratitude to learn from and move beyond my more painful experiences. This kind of spiritual housekeeping is my key to lasting freedom. By releasing blame and regret over and over again, if necessary, I'm ensuring that I will not be bound by the past and limited by any outworn image of myself. Life is dynamic, and so am I. My growth is dependent upon my forward movement, and I commit to embracing the freedom that comes from leaving the past behind. With gratitude, I bless the person I was. With faith, I reach unencumbered for the person I am becoming. And the scripture is from Galatians 5:13, and it reads, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, honey. So here we are. We're continuing on this journey, the infinite way to an abundant life. Part three, of course. And, you know, in every skill-based or knowledge-based discipline, where a high degree of training is required or to reach, you know, certain high levels of mastery, there needs to always be a review or, you know, going back to reconnect with the basics of whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, okay? So in keeping with that thought of always, you know, referring to the basics as we, you know, begin to advance in the different things we're studying and working on, we're going to, especially in this idea of understanding how to follow the infinite way to an abundant life, which we explained in the last couple of lessons as being the same as the unity way to the abundant life. Or it could be more generally expressed, and this is really important, as the new thought way to an abundant life. So that encompasses all the new thought movement. Okay, and you know, if you're fairly new to Unity or even folks who have been involved in Unity for a while, you may not really understand the concept of new thought or the idea of being a new thought Christian or the idea of new thought Christianity. So here's one simple explanation. New Thought is a mental healing movement. Now, let me say that again. New Thought, I don't care if it's science of mind, divine minds, religious science, any of these different New Thought movements, is all about a mental healing movement devoted generally to such ideas as spiritual healing, the creative power of constructive thinking, and personal guidance from an inner presence. Okay, so this explanation should be familiar to all of us because it is the basis of every lesson taught here. And again, another source that I looked at explained New Thought movement. The New Thought movement was among the more notable movements that happened in the 1900s. Okay, and it emerged from people trying to understand a better way of understanding divine mysteries, such as prayer works. Okay, we know that prayer works, but it is a divine mystery. Okay, so trying to understand those divine mysteries, and this occurs through the power of our thoughts. Okay, so the term new thought signifies that one's thoughts could unlock the secret to living a more abundant life. Now listen carefully, free from the constraints of religious doctrine or dogma. Okay, so new thought or the new thought movement is not so much about following certain religious doctrines or dogma, but it's about freeing yourself from those constraints so that you, as we say, said quite often, so we can hear that spiritual inspiration and guidance come up from within us that helps us to understand and get a better understanding of this whole spiritual path that we're on. Now, another source explained New Thought this way. It says, New Thought is actually a broad term which covers numerous ideologies. That's what I was talking about. As I quote from Science of Mind quite a bit. So it covers numerous ideologies, all of which are included under an even broader term, which is metaphysics. But all the ideologies have at least one thing in common. They all agree as to the role that our thoughts play in our lives. In fact, our thoughts are our lives. And we're going to talk more about that in this lesson. And thought reigns supreme, or in the words of my favorite guru, Ed Rabel, he said, consciousness is king, okay? However, let's take a moment to review the unity thought process. Okay, so we talk about there's numerous new thought ideologies, but let's look at the unity thought process. Not that it is so different from the other new thought teachings. This review is more about reminding us of the basics that guide the thought process we in unity strive to live by. And most of you probably can quote these by heart. So, we believe God is absolute good and everywhere present. Number two, every one of us is the Christ pressing out into expression. So therefore, we are inherently good. We create our experiences by the activities and nature of our thoughts. Okay? Next, sweetie. Okay, and then prayer and meditation are the creative tools that heighten the connection between our mind and God mind. Affirmations and denials are the tools we use to work with the laws of mind action. And then knowing and understanding the laws of life, and we're going to talk a lot about this, also called truth are not enough. Our life must become a living demonstration of the truth we know to be true. Okay, so in one way or another, we explore these basic unity teachings every Sunday and in every class you attend. I know many of you have been going to April's classes on Wednesday night, and you'll hear these teachings interwoven into all of those teachings that we do. However, the real challenge is that there is a vast difference between hearing and understanding, and an even greater distance between understanding and earnestly practicing living what we are hearing and learning. So we're working from the premise that if we hear it enough and practice living the principles enough, we will eventually become a living demonstration of the truth as taught by the Master. This is the infinite way of living that leads to the abundant life. Okay. Now, as was explained previously, the numerous ideologies of New Thought fall under the study of metaphysics. Okay. In unity, we explain that we are metaphysical Christians. And that's, you know, somebody says, well, what is that? Okay, and we're going to talk more about what is that. But if we say we are metaphysical Christians who study practical metaphysics. Now, we know that the five disciplines in unity are cosmology, theology, psychology, science, and mysticism. And that's how we, Charles Fillmore, looked at the idea of metaphysics. So we study these ideas as practical metaphysics. And in the book, Practical Metaphysics by Eric Butterworth, he explains that practical metaphysics is the practice of living in the presence of God. He says further, to practice the presence is to live constantly as if you believe that the allness of God is present in all of its totality at every point in your life. We're going to really work with that idea. So the true disciple is one who is willing to take what he or she knows about living the metaphysical life into the trenches and apply it to every aspect of his or her life. Okay. So that's the whole idea. You know, how do I get to the point where it's sort of just natural for me to turn to that that idea as opposed to what I normally would, you know, would respond to or react to. So the study and practice of truth principles is an infinite spiral that continuously brings you closer to discovering the truth about yourself. Let me say that again. The study and practice of truth principles is an infinite spiral that continuously brings you closer to discovering the truth about yourself. It's sort of like the search. The search is sort of like the box inside within the box phenomenon. You know, you open a box, you know, trying to discover something new, only to discover that within it is another box. And you continue this process until opening the last box, hoping for a profound discovery, you discover nothing, right? At least nothing that fits the image you may have been holding or what you expected to find. Right? Now, can you hear yourself saying, I thought that when I found God, he would be more not quite sure what I thought. All right, think about it. Okay. What are you thinking? What are we thinking we're going to find when we find God? Okay. But as Eric Butterworth explains in his book, the quest to find God is really the quest to find the truth about ourselves. Likewise, the quest to find the truth about ourselves is the quest to find the truth about God. Okay, so the search is one and the same. Matter of fact, if you've ever read the book by Kryon, The Journey Home, and Michael Thomas is doing this, he visits seven different houses, seven different angels, and that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to find the truth, but in the end, he discovers that the truth was always within him. Okay. And so that's the whole idea of, you know, you're trying to find God, you're really trying to find yourself. When you're trying to find yourself, you're really trying to find God. All one and the same, okay? But regardless of which search we believe we're involved in, whether we think we're trying to find more about ourselves or we're trying to understand God, we're probably not quite sure what it is we will find because we're still not quite sure what it is we are looking for, right? That's a good discussion, you know? What is it that we're looking for when we're saying we're trying to find God or we're trying to discover the truth about ourselves? What are we really looking for? So in our common everyday life, most of us are constantly involved in one endeavor or another, striving to make changes in our outer life, okay, to make our life better or different, which could very well be an unconscious effort to try to create a sense of being whole. You know, so you think about it. You're trying to fix this. We're trying to fix that. You know, we're always involved in this, you know, trying to fix the world kind of a thing, so that our inner world will feel better. But we probably have this inner drive to be whole. Okay. Now, if you say, what does it mean to be whole? The revealing word says it's the unification of spirit, mind, body, and soul. Okay. Right now, if you think about those aspects of ourselves, they are scattered, okay? There's a lot of different things going on in our mind, our emotions, in our body, in our lives, okay? We're just kind of scattered. And I think what we're seeking to do, if you wanted to put some kind of a definition on it, is we're trying to understand, how do I make myself whole? And again, the revealing word is the unification of our spirit, our mind, our body, and our soul. Now, to illustrate this, I'm going to tell a story. It's a repeat that some of you have heard, some of you might remember, okay? But it's about a little boy who is constantly disturbing his very busy father one evening. Now, the father, in desperation, you know, to kind of find something for the kid to do, took a map of the world and tore it into little pieces and asked the boy if he could fit the pieces together again. Now, thinking that this would keep the boy busy for the rest of the evening, the father settled back into the work that he was doing. But the little boy returned in a very few minutes with the map all assembled. Well, the father was puzzled, and he said, "How did you do that so quickly?" Well, the boy replied, "Well, on the other side is a picture of a man. Okay, on the other side of the map is a picture of a man. I just put the man back together, and then when I turned it over, the world was all back together as well." Okay. So unlike this little fellow, many of us are usually busy trying to put the world back together, meaning trying to fix things in our outer lives that have us swinging from one end of the emotional pendulum to the other. And life can cause us to become scattered. But our spiritual quest is return to a sense of wholeness, the unification of our spirit, mind, body, and soul. So the key to this unification is to learn how to become and remain centered in the truth that I am in this world, but I choose to remain centered in God, the good, omnipotent, as always being present and always working in my life. I probably should have made a slide out of that so you could copy it. Let me just say it again, okay? So we want to remain in the truth that I am in this world, but I choose to remain centered in God, the good, omnipotent, as being present and always working in my life. And we know, as Jesus expressed in John 8:23, I am not of this world. He's saying, yes, I am here with you. But as he said in John 16:33, I have overcome the world. So Jesus is saying, I'm in it, but I'm not of it, because I have overcome it. Now, we know that, so we're going to expand on that. So that's easily said, but very challenging to live. Okay, so just think to yourself right now, think about what something that is challenging in your life, something you are experiencing or feeling anxious about. I'm going to give you a moment. Think about what is something challenging in your life right now, or something you're experiencing and you're feeling anxious about it. Then I'm going to ask you, do an experiment. Close your eyes and think to yourself, I am in it, but not of it. I am in it, but not of it. I am in it, but not of it. Now open your eyes. How did that make you feel? What are you thinking and feeling right now? Okay. So the basic unity principle in this mind exercise is to always remember that no matter what is happening in your life, you do not have to become lost in it, meaning you do not have to become so emotionally and physically entangled in it that you forget who you are. And as you heard me say before, you forget whose you are, as in, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Because if you are not God's instrument, then ask yourself in this moment, whose instrument have I allowed myself to become? Okay? So think about it. If you're not really in tune with the idea of being the instrument through which the Holy Spirit can work through you in whatever situation it is in your life, you have to ask yourself, whose instrument did you become? So the truth we follow is that regardless of the situation or circumstance we find ourselves in, it is our spiritual duty to remain committed to being an expression of the truth. That truth being, regardless of what appears to be happening, God is here. And I choose to remain centered in that divine reality. I choose to be an expression of that divine reality. And not understanding this principle causes us to expend all our energy trying to change other people and other conditions. Okay, if I could just make all this work, then, you know, I'll be good. Okay? But as in the story about the little boy and the puzzle, we try to put the world back together before putting ourselves back together. Together meaning the unification of our spirit, mind, body, and soul. In other words, or in the words of Henry David Thoreau, we're so busy trying to change people and conditions that we keep bumping into the mirror of who we presently are. Okay? Basically, he's saying that the very thing we are trying to change outside of ourselves are often reflections of the very things we need to change inside of ourselves. Put the person back together. Okay, put myself back together. And again, you know, repeating, you know, Paul, he said, we tend to look in the mirror darkly because we do not want to realize, and listen carefully, Paul said, we look in the mirror darkly, he said dimly but darkly, because we do not want to realize that what we see in our world is a reflection of our own inner reality. So off we go to try to put our outer world back together, but at first, at least simultaneously, doing the work needed to put our inner self back together. Okay? So when there are challenging situations in our lives, it seems that one of our favorite ways of beginning a sentence when we're being challenged by something is the phrase, if only. Do any of these statements sound familiar? If only I had more money. If only I had a better job. If only I could retire. If only the economy would turn around, or gas prices would drop, or food prices would drop. If only he or she wouldn't be that way. If only he or she would just listen. If only my body was well. If only, if only, if only, you fill in the blanks. And I'm not negating the urgency or the necessity of our need to ponder or cry out, if only, when life is troubling us. Because I still find myself thinking or saying, if only things were whatever it is to me at the time. Okay. However, what we're studying here is a possibility that comes from learning to live from the center of our Christ self by practicing daily the application of spiritual principles and spiritual thinking in every aspect of our life. Okay. So we're truly striving to live our life as a demonstration of the basic principles of truth that we study here. Then if only is not the way to begin the sentence we use to describe what we're experiencing, okay? If only is not the way we want to describe whatever we're experiencing. Because if only, you say, why can't I use if only? Because if only negates the possibility of the co-eternal relationship with the divine. Remember last week we talked about living the co-eternal life. So if we have this if-only thinking, it negates the possibility of that co-eternal relationship with the divine, a relationship in which we become the instrument through which the eternal truth that God is constantly and freely expressing. Okay? So living the unity way, or the infinite way, is a subtle process of constantly evaluating our language. And again, these are concepts I'm repeating. Constantly evaluating our language, because our language is a clue to the state of our mind, which is a clue to the state of our consciousness, which is a clue to how deeply we are entrenched in believing that what is happening in our life is our only reality, our only possibility. See, you get what I'm saying? So if our language, our thinking, our behavior, you know, is caught up in whatever it is we're struggling with, we are caught in believing that this is our reality and it's our only reality. And I think any deeply religious person who believes in God, by whatever name or nature, you know, has a sense that there is another reality, another possibility, other than what we have been, what we might be experiencing. However, many religious people believe that this other possibility, this other reality exists up there. Okay? Now in unity, we believe what our elder brother and wayshower explained to us when he said, the only true reality is not here or there. It is right in the midst of you. It is within you. constantly seeking to express as you. So when you affirm God's presence as being active in your life and affairs, you prepare your consciousness for a shift in reality from trial and tribulation to peace and great abundance. Okay? And that great abundance may be an abundance of peace as opposed to an abundance of whatever we might be thinking. So if you feel you have to begin a sentence, I got to begin this sentence with, whether it's conscious or unconscious, with only, then use the phrase that to say, to yourself, use this phrase to say to yourself, if only I could remember in this moment who I really am and whose I really am. Let me say it again. If only I could remember in this moment who I really am and whose I really am. And this is how Emerson explains it. He says, from within or from without, a light shines through us upon things or our life and makes us aware that we are nothing but the light. A person's persona is merely a facade inside of which is a temple wherein all wisdom and all good abide. What we commonly call ourself is the eating, drinking, planting, counting self, which does not, as we know it, represent our true self, but misrepresents who we truly are. Okay? So this false self that we do not respect, this false self we do not respect, but the Holy Spirit, whose organ we are, would we let that Spirit appear through our actions, it would make our knees bend. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to breathe through your intellect, it is genius. When it breathes through your will, it is virtue. And when it flows through your affection, it is love. Okay? So just think to yourself the next time someone challenges your peace that what they are really doing, somebody's trying to challenge your peace, okay, or something is trying to challenge your peace, what is really being done here is you're being asked to prove that you know who you really are. That's what's happening, okay? No matter what they say or do, just realize that in that, you know, in that reality, they're asking you, what do you know about yourself? What do you, or do you know who you really are? Or like we like to say, do you know whose you really are? Okay. So the last thought for today is that many people fear that if they allow themselves to become an instrument through which God can work, that they will lose their personality, their individuality. Okay. So sort of like, you know, if I become this instrument of spirit, what about me? What about how I like to show up in the world? Okay. So you won't lose your personality. You won't lose your individuality. You won't lose your sense of self. However, it says in the book, What Are You? By Imelda Octavia Schenkel. And this is what she says. Identify with God, identity with God, does not take away individuality. It enhances individuality and gives you character, superlative. Does not take away personality. It purifies and beautifies. It does not take away your joy of life. It refines your joy and increases your life. Okay. So I'm going to leave you with this thought from Ralph Waldo Emerson. And it says, freedom is not the right to live however we please. Rather, it is the right to find out how we ought to live in order to fulfill our divine potential. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So let's become still, Unity family. And this morning, I'm going to be leading you in a breathing meditation. So get in a comfortable position and breathe. Our breath is the key to bringing our attention to the present moment, away from the distractions of worry from the past and fears of the future. Our breath is our constant and continuous reminder to be right here now. Slowly bring your attention to that, breathing gently in and out. You don't need to force a deeper breath or change your breathing pattern in any way. Just find a comfortable rhythm in and out. Try imagining your lungs as they gently fill and release. You might imagine that they build a slight glow each time they fill and then fade as each breath is released in and out. Release. Each breath out can also be a reminder to release the tensions that are in your body. Maybe tension is in your eyes or in your shoulders, or maybe that tension is in your hands or in your legs. Wherever it is, just use each breath to remind yourself to release and let go. Again, breathing in and breathing out, release. Stay here in this present moment for just a bit. Calm, gentle breath. The movement of your lungs releasing tension in your body. Aware of each moment in and out. Feel yourself now entering into the secret place of the Most High, a place in consciousness where you may be at any moment of the day. Lay all your burdens and fears and worries at the altar of the God within you. Now release them and let them go. Breathing in and out and releasing. We will now pause to spend time with Spirit. Know that you spent these few moments focused on your breath. Now you can go about your day with a renewed focus, and whenever you feel an anxious unease start to creep in, just use your breath to slowly pull yourself back into the present, awake, aware, and centered. Thank you, God, for this mindful peace journey. We know you've heard our prayers this morning, and you have answered them as you always do. We are grateful in the name and nature of Jesus the Christ, and we say Amen, and so it is. When you are ready, come back to your Unity family.
Thank you, Anne. So this is the time we open our hearts and allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home here at Unity. We are always grateful for all the donations that you share with us. And again, if you didn't hear the opening, we were sharing that if you found this message to be, you know, to feed you and you would like to donate, that you can just click on the link below if you're watching this on YouTube on the Show More button, and you'll see all the ways that you can support this church. So with that in mind, let us do our offering blessing together. Together, we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now we have
That path that we're going to walk this week.
No, light notes.
Oh, light notes first. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Couldn't wait, could I? Okay, light notes for Sunday, May 15th. Paul Hasselbeck is our guest speaker for Sunday, May 22nd. That's next Sunday. His topic is Metaphysics for Today. And following the service, he will lead a workshop at 1 p.m. called Metaphysical Romp, and it's an expansion of the Sunday message. The Zoom links are the same as Church Fellowship. And also next Sunday, our music will be the duo called Quiet the Mountain, and you may remember Jimmy Stewart, who plays guitar, from a previous time with us. So there is now a new collaboration with Jimmy and Christian Alfonso. Both will be on guitar and vocals. So this promises to be an exciting day, so please be here next Sunday. Cape and Springs, remember that place? We have reserved spaces up at Cape and Springs, West Virginia, for our fall retreat, which is Friday through Sunday, September 9th to the 11th. And many of you have been asking when we'll be going back there, so now is the opportunity to step forward and make this happen. If you are seriously interested and need the details, please email me at pamosby@msn.com and let me know if you'll need a single room or a double room, and I'll give you more details as I get them. We have space for 30 people, so that should be a good time. And that concludes our announcements for today.
Okay. So now,
we're going to bless the path that we walked this week. Finally, huh? Let's say our affirmation together with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. Amen.
Amen. Let's go right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And we look forward to seeing you in the Zoom fellowship right after this. If not, have a wonderful and safe week, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.